I'm curious, do you have a really great BS detector? Maybe you're often skeptical of others. Are you really street smart? Would you say you're pretty self-assured? You often find yourself being the leader in the group. Maybe you even struggle to ask for help. Do you love a good challenge? Do you fight really hard for the causes you believe in? Do you have a great sense of humor? I bet you're a blast. You might have thought that these were all parts of your personality, but they might actually be coping mechanisms you've picked up over the course of your life, and they're having a huge impact on how you show up, especially on this motherhood journey. Are you curious to know more? You got to take my personality patterns quiz. Here's what's going on. When you were a child, whenever an experience overwhelmed your nervous system, you subconsciously built a defense against that overwhelm. Over time, those defenses became a habit, and then they became a pattern. And now as an adult, what we think of as our personality is often this defense pattern running the show. It's so interesting, right? There are 5 different personality patterns, and they're not personality types like the Enneagram or the Myers-Briggs, but rather they describe the safety strategies that we immediately go to when we start to feel overwhelmed. They don't describe who we are so much as what's blocking who we are. The good news is that once you take my quiz and learn about your pattern, you can learn skills to break out of that pattern, and then you can live and parent your kids as your true and authentic self. Click on the quiz link in the show notes or go to michellegrosser.com/quiz now to take my 2-minute personality pattern quiz. Welcome to the Calm Mom Podcast, the show for ambitious women ready to get off the hot mess express. I know you've got a lot going on. You work so hard. You're raising an incredible family. And sometimes it can be overwhelming. I'm your host, Michelle Grosser. I'm a certified master life coach, attorney, wife, and mom. And years ago, I was right where you are. I was running a busy law practice while raising a family, and I was on the fast track to burnout. I thought I just needed to be more organized or have better routines, but it was learning how to heal and regulate my nervous system that expanded my capacity to gracefully hold more of this big, beautiful life. You too are worthy of an extraordinary life in and beyond motherhood. Learning to be a calm, anchoring presence in your home and at work is going to be your superpower. If you're here to do the inner work that brings a sense of calm amidst the chaos, I'm here to join you on that journey. Each time you press play, your growth continues. So let's get at it. Welcome to the Calm Mom Podcast. Michelle Grosser here. So grateful you're with us today. Today, we're going to talk about chronic fatigue. I hear from enough of you about this topic. I know that it feels like it might be its own epidemic among moms. So I think a lot of you are going to resonate with our guest today. Her name is Tiffany Cagwin. She's a certified functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner and a board certified holistic health practitioner. And y'all, we're talking about some of the key reasons why we're seeing such a large energy shortage across women and particularly across moms. And it's more than stress, right? So we're going to talk about some of the most common causes of chronic fatigue. We're going to talk about some of your day-to-day habits that are probably big energy suckers, right? Day-to-day habits that are culprits to causing chronic fatigue. And then you're going to walk away from this episode today with some real, like, time-efficient, energy-boosting habits that you can start to integrate into your everyday life. I can't wait for you guys to listen. Enjoy this conversation with Tiffany. All right, Tiffany, welcome to the Calm Mom Podcast. So grateful you're here with us today.
Thank you. It's so great to be here.
So I'm excited for this conversation because I think we're going to talk about a lot of things that are going to help a lot of moms with a lot of things that they're probably struggling with and not realizing the impact that a lot of the things we're going to talk about have on their overall health and well-being. And we were talking a little bit just before we hit record about how much of an explorer you are. So we're going to hear about that and maybe even live vicariously through you for a little bit over the next half hour. But before we jump in, let everyone know who you are and the work that you're doing.
Yeah. So I'm a holistic health coach. I have like a functional medicine sort of approach to how I work with people. Of course, as always with these things, there's a very long story. But in short, I was diagnosed with autoimmune condition Crohn's when I was 17. And then, as is typical with autoimmune things, it cascades and, you know, you end up with multiple autoimmune things. So over the course of like 20 years, I was always on a path of trying to discover healing opportunities and different modalities and ways to deal with it more naturally. And it was a process, you know, like it took me a long time and a lot of trial and error, figuring things out on my own. But eventually figured it all out. And I actually healed all of them. And clinically, they're gone. Like,
amazing.
Yeah. So I live a really healthy, radiant life now. And it's my passion to help others reclaim their health and feel empowered and just like feel their best, because, you know, I realized that so many people just don't even know. Like, we don't, we just don't know what is available to us in terms of the healing potential and feeling better. And, you know, I didn't even know, aside from the autoimmune, like, you know, I know we're going to talk about fatigue, but that's one of the things, like, I didn't even realize the kind of energy I could have until I had it, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just these kind of things that have driven me to this path. I've done a lot of things in my career. I started like in more of a, well, I started in education, but then was in more of like a business path my whole life, like worked in the executive world. But then owned a couple yoga studios for like a decade. And all of it eventually led me here, which is that I take all of this information that I've gathered over, you know, over 20 years and help people live their best lives and feel their best.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I love that you share your story about a journey really through autoimmune conditions. And I think we have a lot of listeners on the show. I get a lot of feedback from people who are suffering from autoimmune, whatever that looks like for them. And they're surprised to hear how much of a correlation there is between all the autoimmune symptoms that they're experiencing and the state of their nervous system and the stress that they're experiencing. Yes. And so many of these things that just aren't, I don't know, spoken about enough. So I love that you're, you know, standing on the other side of it with this testimony of like, hey, it really is a lifestyle approach. I'm assuming, right?
Yes, yes.
That has led to this turnaround and all of the symptoms I was experiencing. And I wonder if you could just talk to that a little bit for people who are listening who suffer from autoimmune. Maybe some of the things that you notice or that you teach about that have high ROI early on, maybe that they wouldn't hear from traditional medical provider.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd be happy to talk about that. So one of the things you touched on was, you know, the nervous system and these things that like people don't talk about. And, you know, that was one of my early discoveries, actually. So what you said, which is that the medical community isn't going to really like discuss these things, you know, and what I was told from the beginning was that there was nothing I can do. Nothing in my lifestyle mattered. Nothing that I ate mattered. Wow. I was just going to have to take medication. And, you know, I mean, this was also like a really long time ago. Things have come a long way. I do think that we've evolved a lot. And there is, even in the medical community, there's a little bit of a broader understanding of the layers of this. But, you know, this was in the 90s and there wasn't even, you couldn't Google anything. There wasn't any information out there. So, but what I was going to say about the nervous system is I sort of accidentally stumbled upon that discovery and the impact, which happened when I became pregnant with my son. And I was on a lot of medication prior to being pregnant. And as soon as I found out I was pregnant, I had to come off of them because they were like very dangerous medications. Well, my joints swelled, which is something that can happen with Crohn's when it's not managed with medication. And somebody said to me, I couldn't really exercise, and exercise was a huge outlet for me. Now, the other component of this is that I was like a very driven type A, OCD sort of like, you know, my nervous system was on overdrive all the time. I understand this now. Like I was in sympathetic overdrive nonstop all the time. Yeah. So I couldn't exercise, and somebody recommended yoga to me. And I was like, sure, whatever. If I can do something, you know, it was better than nothing. So I started doing yoga. I just got like a DVD and I was doing it in my living room. And, you know, it wasn't like a super active yoga. So it didn't really do anything for that like need to exercise for me. But what was interesting is that it did start to calm my stress levels and calm my nervous system down. And I was like less reactive and just sort of a little more peaceful. And, you know, it was like a brand new world for me. I had never experienced that. What I noticed was that my symptoms were less frequent.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, hang on. This is interesting. Like, what is this about?
Yeah.
So that's actually what led me down the path of studying yoga and eventually opening yoga studios, because understanding this mind-body connection, nobody had ever told me about that. Everything was treated separately, right? It's like if you're having issues with your thoughts in your mind, you go to like a therapist or a psychologist. If you're having if you're having problems with your knees, you go to a rheumatologist. If you're having problems with your gut, you go to a gastroenterologist. Everything is separate.
Right.
And nobody had ever said to me this concept that like everything's integrated.
Right.
You can't separate any of this stuff, you know? So, you know, that was a huge piece. The other thing I will say, you know, to your question of like, what are some of the things that nobody's talking about? And one of them, you know, the ROI, of course, food, you know, like that's the obvious, is that makes the biggest impact, is eating whole foods, eating clean foods. I mean, our foods are so full of toxins and chemicals, and, you know, really understanding how to clean up what's going in, because first step is always like eliminating stressors, right? Like there are so many different stressors from our environment, but trying to reduce those. But fundamentally, in terms of lifestyle, also syncing with the rhythm of nature. And this was huge. So between, you know, cleaning up the food and having that be more whole foods, which actually is syncing with nature, you know, I mean, really like it all kind of, and even like, you know, you go back to like the yoga and the stress, it's like breathing and slowing down. It's like, that's also syncing with the rhythm of nature. So like overall theme is like, we can't live life separate from the rhythms of this planet that we're on. So getting fresh air, getting sunlight, being outside, eating whole foods, ideally seasonally. Like these are some of the biggest things. They're fundamental.
Yeah.
And that's where you start to get big returns to your question. Yeah.
I love it. Okay. So let's explore that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because I think people hear that, or I'll speak for myself, and I have a general idea about what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But give us, I guess, a little bit more about what that actually looks like, and then how we can start incorporating some of these habits that get us in sync with how things move in nature and in which we're designed to function.
Yeah. So I think high level, what's important to understand, I'll answer your question specifically, but one of the things I think is key to understand is that everything that's happening in the body in terms of either dysfunction or optimal health has to do with energy production, right? Like your body needs energy to repair, to heal. Your body's so intelligent. And if you give it the right conditions, it will heal itself. It will repair. It will, you know, it will compensate for the crazy things. Like we, you know, we're not going to like, the demands aren't really going to stop, right? But your body can handle it if you're supporting it with like the best conditions you can. So thinking of it in terms of energy inputs and outputs, I think is helpful before I say specifics, which is that, if you think about like all of that stuff it needs to do, you have to be giving it enough inputs that all of these demands and these outputs, right, are being met. Or really, you want a surplus. You want more inputs than outputs. What people don't understand, and this will feed into the syncing with nature, is that there's only certain ways to get those inputs that, without getting like too science nerdy here, our mitochondria that we've all learned about, you know, the powerhouses, the energy production. They do much more than that, but we can simplify it in that way. they run all the processes and all the repairs. The only way that they get the, let's say, the fuel that they need is from earth, like nature sources. So the way that you feed mitochondria is through sunlight, through air, through magnetism. You know, it picks up on the magnetism of the earth, from grounding. We all know this, like when, you know, you touch your feet to the ground or you touch a tree, from the food that we eat. So mm-hmm. we can get energy, electrons, through the food that we eat when it's grown in the ground, not the chips that are in a bag or like, sorry, even the like granola, even the healthy, you know, the healthy yeah. snacks, those aren't grown from the ground. So you're not going to gain energy from them. So, and like, of course, the water that we drink. Mm-hmm. So when you think about it that way, like, oh, I need to actually be getting like inputs from nature, right? Mm-hmm. So that's like high level concept. Then how you do that is some key important things that people could do. Simple shifts, getting outside in the morning. Yes. Yeah. It's huge, mm-hmm. huge, huge. And it doesn't, everybody says to me like, well, I don't live in a place like, you know, Michelle, like all of us don't live in Miami, you know, but yeah. you know, you can do it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And even when I lived in Syracuse for 18 years, you still can get outside in the morning. And even if it's, you know, I tell my clients like that first bit of sunlight in the morning, yes. ideally you see the sunrise. But honestly, even if it's overcast, even if it's raining, even if yeah. it's snowing, stepping outside for 5 minutes, getting that cue of light in your eyes is mm-hmm. huge, because what it does is it programs your body to know what time of day it is. Yeah. It sets the hormones into motion. Like mm-hmm. it sets the whole body clock for the day. So that's huge. If you can spend a little more time outside in the morning, ideal, because there's certain wavelengths of that light that's really healing, the red and the infrared, right? So morning sunlight's important. Ideally some more during the day, mm-hmm. some bit of it. And then evening is really important. So you also want to, like, if you can, see the sunset, or, you know, at least get outside during that like last part of the day. Now this doesn't have to be like, you don't have to spend 3 hours a day outside. If you can't, I mean, amazing. If you can, you're going to feel, the more time you spend outside, the better you're going to feel. But honestly, even just making this a habit, mm-hmm. 5-10 minutes in the morning, 5-10 minutes at night, and some yeah. amount of time during the day, just that habit alone can start to re-energize your body, give it yes. the cues it needs for repair. So, yeah. you know, it's things like that where it's like, just stepping outside of the house, getting away from the computer. Again, even if the weather's not brilliant, it's fine. Mm-hmm. Like you're yeah. still going to be getting what you need from the natural, like, you know, the natural rhythms, the air, the, you know, the trees, the sun. Yeah. yeah.
Is it really hard for you to relax if the house is a mess? Are you someone who cleans when you're stressed out? Maybe you're an overachiever. You tend to work a lot. You're always busy. Are you really responsible? Are you a rule follower? Maybe it makes you really uncomfortable when others don't follow the rules. How about detail? Do you have a good eye for it? Do you hate being late? You might have thought these were all just parts of your personality, but they might actually be coping mechanisms you've picked up over the course of your life, and they're having a huge impact on how you show up, especially on this motherhood journey. Are you curious to know more? You've got to take my personality patterns quiz. Here's what's going on. When you were a child, whenever an experience overwhelmed your nervous system, you subconsciously built a defense against that overwhelm. And then over time, those defenses became a habit, and then they became a pattern. And now as an adult, what we often think of as our personality is this defense pattern running the show. It's so interesting, right? There are 5 different personality patterns, and they're not personality types like the Enneagram or the Myers-Briggs, but rather they describe the safety strategies that you immediately go to when you start to feel overwhelmed. They don't describe who you are, but rather what is blocking who you are. The good news is that once you take the quiz and learn about your pattern, you can learn skills to break out of that pattern, and you can live and parent as your true and authentic self. So click on the link in the show notes or go to michellegrosser.com/quiz now to take my 2-minute personality pattern quiz.
I've really been intentional about incorporating early morning sunlight for myself for the last couple years. And I noticed that, and I teach this to my clients too, that a good night's sleep really starts the morning before, yes. Right? It's like it's setting it all in motion. And I wonder, as we're talking about such a powerful morning habit to help with our sleep and the regulation of our nervous system, what do you advise against? Like, what are some of the worst things that we can do in the morning that goes against all of this stuff that maybe if people are listening, they're like, oh, I could start incorporating morning sunlight and I could also stop doing these things and see a really big payoff.
Yes. Okay. This is my favorite thing because this is huge. And I'll tell you a trick, a biohack too. So stop looking at your phone. I think you knew I was going to say that. You cannot look at your phone. It's just, it's like a non-negotiable. This is one that I tell my clients or anybody that will listen to me, non-negotiable. You do not look at your phone first thing in the morning. Now, I do understand maybe there's some, I don't know. I think you can find ways around it. People are like alarm clocks, whatever, but fine. I'll give it to you if it's necessary. There's a shortcut you can program on your phone that with just 3 clicks, you turn the screen red.
Oh, okay.
It's the easiest thing. Like I can send you a link if you want to like post it for people.
Sure.
But you program it so that you just do three clicks, it turns it red. Okay. So it shuts the blue light off. This is what I do at night. So as soon as the sun goes down or shortly after sunset, I turn my phone to red. This does a few things. I'm going to get back to morning, but this sets it up for morning.
Yeah, this is great.
It does a few things. It shuts off that blue light at night, which is critical for sleep. If you are still getting blue light input, you're still pumping cortisol. Mm-hmm. And you're not producing melatonin, which you need for night. So it gets you off of that blue screen. You know, I wear blue blockers too, and I actually put like red lenses on at night, like once I get past like sunset. But anyways, the phone trick. So you turn your phone red. The couple of things it does is it turns off the blue light, but it also, it's less interesting. So you're just not like, you can function if you have to, but you're kind of just like, well, you're not going to scroll because it's just not that captivating. So it helps force the habit of you just like getting off of your device at night before bed.
Yeah.
I don't love sleeping with the phone in the room. So I do advise people to leave their phones out of their room and get a little remote and turn your Wi-Fi off at night. So those are my night tricks. Okay. The thing is, when you have it red, though, in the morning, if for some reason you have to look at it for something, you're at least not giving your eyes the blue light, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say you have to turn your alarm off or something like that. Fine. It's red. You haven't like given it a blue light cue, but you're not scrolling. You're not doing any of that stuff. You know, then you put your phone away. And then you see the sunrise. If you can't go outside, at least open a window. Mm-hmm. Because the wavelengths will come in. So if for some reason you just can't get outside, like at least open a window and face towards like where the sun is rising. Mm-hmm. The other thing, so phone is the one bad habit in the morning, like bad, bad, bad. Ideally you're off of it for an hour before you get into your day, like as long as you can. But I think like try to go for an hour. Coffee before food.
Yep.
Bad habit. This one was, I'll be honest, that one was hard for me to break. I loved my tea or my coffee, you know, but I really, the more I understood about like what that does to your hormones, I just, you know, it's just, it jacks up the cortisol again. And it's just like not a good idea. So you definitely want to have protein, ideally within 30 to 60 minutes of waking, and then you can have your coffee, but you don't want coffee before food. And especially before protein. And then like the other bad habit that I know a lot of people do is then they like work out first thing in the morning. And again, like maybe it's, they haven't eaten, they're working out fasted. They're maybe doing something really intense, like going for an intense run or CrossFit. Right. I used to do that. I used to go to CrossFit at 5 a.m. I'd wake up, I'd have black coffee.
Yep.
I'd be in like bright lights, blue light. And like do this like intense adrenal crushing workout fasted. I was doing all the wrong things. So like, I don't know why.
We think that's healthy, right? Yeah. Like the culture tells us that that's healthy, that totally. That's a healthy morning routine.
Right.
So tell people a little bit, because, and just, you're mentioning cortisol. Mm-hmm. Our cortisol levels are already high when we wake. So explain to people what happens then when we pump extra cortisol with some of these bad habits and what impact that has. Because you're mentioning our adrenals, you're mentioning stress levels, just so people understand the why behind why these things are not great ideas and how it impacts the cortisol.
Yeah, good question. So cortisol is not a bad thing. You know, that's important to say. Like, it's really important for functioning. It's part of the healthy hormone path. Like cortisol should be higher in the morning. It's the highest in the morning, but then you want, like, it peaks in the morning, but then you want a gradual decline throughout the day, right? When you artificially spike it at different times of day, first thing in the morning or throughout the day, it starts to throw the other hormones off balance. Right. So the two kind of effects are that, one, it can steal from or overstress other hormones. So to counter cortisol, then other hormones have to work harder to bring it back down. And then it becomes this like chronic battle of like the stress hormones, the anti-stress hormones, and everything's just, you know, it's like it just gets worn out over time. If you're just always asking extra, you know, your body will handle it. And it's brilliant in times of extreme stress, right? Like something happens in life, you've got, you know, some extra demands, you want to be able to draw on that system to pump out extra cortisol and, you know, have meet those extra demands. But you don't want that to become a chronic thing, right? Because what happens is that in just those acute periods, fine. It can handle it. It goes back down. You're all good. But if it's constantly pumping, it's just like anything else, it'll get worn out.
Yeah.
And then when you need it, the system doesn't operate the way that it needs to. And then in times of stress, you're feeling really tired. You don't have the energy. You know, this is really classic where people are like, well, everything that I used to do, you know, I used to be able to handle these kind of hours. I used to be able to handle these kind of workouts. I used to be able to handle being tired and keep functioning. And now I can't. It's like, well, you just wore out your system. It just can't handle it anymore. Yeah. And then as you said, like this can lead to sleep disruption. So what we're doing in the morning then, you know, really sets us up for sleep. And then if you're not sleeping well, so if cortisol is activated beyond when it should, and then melatonin, which we need for sleep and repair, can't activate, then you're not sleeping well. And then that's when you're not repairing and, you know, healing and detoxing and all the things that are supposed to happen at night so that you're like ready to do it again the next day.
Yeah. The cycle so that, of it.
Yeah. You know, you want to support your body's natural cycle. Your body will handle a lot and it will allow you to live a really full life. Really, you know, we don't have to go sit quietly and meditate to like have like a healthy, radiant life. You know, we can handle a lot of activity and a lot of goals and keep moving if we're setting ourselves up with these, like, especially morning and evening is really where the key is to be able to handle the stressors of the day.
Yeah. Okay. So I think I hear so much in there and I love it. And I want to talk a little bit about kind of what you were alluding to with this chronic sense of fatigue, because I think for a lot of women listening, it's like we kind of have this stark, like pre-kids and then post-kids.
Yeah.
And I think there is, rightly so, this feeling of being tired, especially when we have young kids, right? We're not necessarily able to sleep as well. Our body's been through a lot. It takes a lot out of us. And they just need so much from us. And that can be exhausting. But then I think sometimes we're like, our kids are 6, 7, 10, 14, and we're like, man, I'm still so tired. And I wonder if you could speak to maybe some of those signs that like, this isn't just the quote unquote normal tiredness or one bad night's sleep, but hey, these are some signs that there's something deeper going on, whether it's gut issues or our skin or our hair or like other things that we might notice that would be an indication of like, hey, this isn't just a bad night's sleep. This is your body telling you that it needs some attention in some ways.
Yeah. Yeah. Great question. Cause I do think it's really important to differentiate between just like tired and fatigue.
Yeah.
Right. And you can get kind of the myth of normal, right?
Yes.
Kicks in here where it's just like, well, that's normal. Yeah. We're all parents and we're all tired. It's like, well, is it normal though? Or are we all just like
common? It's common. Like, yeah. But is it normal?
Yeah. So one clear indication is that the difference between tired and fatigue is that does a good night's sleep fix it? Mm-hmm. If you're just tired and you sleep really well and you feel better the next day, then you were just tired.
Yeah.
Right. If you sleep really well and you wake up and you still don't have energy, that's sign number one, is that no matter how much you sleep, even if you take a nap, no amount of rest satisfies that feeling where you actually wake up and have energy again. You should wake up and feel like really ready to face the day. Mm-hmm. So the other indication is that like if you get out of bed and you just literally can't get moving and you can't start and you're just like dragging, maybe there's generally a sense of like body fatigue with that as well. Like there's kind of a heaviness. A lot of people talk about that. Like there's just this denseness, this heaviness, maybe even soreness. You know, mm-hmm. there's usually body aches or some sort of pain or inflammation that's happening. And like you have to have caffeine to get going. You have to take some sort of supplement or herbal to just kickstart. You know, mm-hmm. if you're in that state, that's definitely a sign. And then many of the things that you mentioned, you know, you might be noticing that your hair's thinning or you're losing more of it. Your skin is not, you're just noticing like the quality of your skin is not great. Maybe there's breakouts. Maybe there's just a dullness. Like it's generally, you know, can just be like kind of a dullness or a dryness, joint pain. You know, that's huge as people just kind of have general aches and then gut distress, you know, that's very common, very, very common. And it's mind blowing to me how much we've just accepted that that's like normal.
Yeah.
Like, well, everybody's bloated. Well, no, that's actually not, you know, it is common as you said, but that's not normal. Like bloating, discomfort after eating, just sort of feeling, you know, that sort of describe it as like a lot of my clients have just that general puffy feeling. They just always kind of feel a little bit almost like there's just water retention all the time. Mm-hmm. Like that's a sign of inflammation. And then brain fog, I would say, is another one that comes up a lot where you just like can't think super clearly. You're not. Mm-hmm. And again, we just blame this on like motherhood. You know, we have these sort of like, we all joke about it. Like, oh, my kids killed my brain cells or, you know, like being a mom, just like, I can't think straight anymore. But, you know, and it's nice that we have this camaraderie, but it's like, but wait a minute.
It doesn't have to be like that.
Right. Should we feel this way? Like, is there another way to feel?
Yeah.
Yes. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's super helpful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. You alluded to some of these already, but I'm always so curious. So I want to pick your brain.
Sure.
I would love to hear a little bit about your morning routine and your evening routine.
Yeah.
So I would love to just hear some things that you do that you're really consistent in that you notice a big payoff. So teach us.
Yeah. 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 I'll tell you my non-negotiables, which is that I don't look at my phone. So my phone's out of my room. I don't even look at it until I'm an hour into the day. So it stays like plugged in away. It's in the kitchen. I just don't look at it. But I get up, depending on the time of year, because my body does just like to get up at the same time every year. Mm-hmm. So in the summer, it ends up waking up when the sun's rising, which is the best because then I wake up and I like go outside and I watch the sunrise and then, you know, I go back in and start my day. If it's this time of year where I'm waking up before the sun rises, I do wear my blocker glasses to keep the lights low. Like I use like salt lamps and, you know, I just try to keep it dim. Like I just don't make my house like an airport, you know, like turning on all the lights. Like I just try to keep it low. But if I do have to have some light on, I just throw on my glasses so I don't have to worry about it. And then I generally read. So reading for me is like, I just love to start the day that way. So I have a glass of mineral water. I read at least 15 minutes, you know, sometimes a little bit longer. It just sort of depends on like what the lineup of my day is. And then always a meditation. I do some breath work and meditation. So it sounds like a lot, but you know, on days where I need to keep it short, I can do all that in like 15, 20 minutes if I need to. And then if I can indulge, I'll do that for like an hour. But the point is the first part of my day is always just quiet.
Yeah.
Like I'm not engaging with any of my day yet. Yeah. I've become very disciplined about it because, I used to start my day like thinking about the day, looking at the calendar, immediately making plans, writing lists. And like, you know, I just was starting my day with so much stress. And now like, this is non-negotiable for me.
Yeah.
It just, even if times when I've had to get up earlier to do it, because it sets the tone for everything for me for the day. So that's my morning routine. I do eat like a small amount of protein. It's hard for me to eat like a large quantity of it, but I usually have like, I just keep easy things like hard boiled eggs or like a little egg casserole or sometimes like a protein powder so that then I can have my coffee because I do love my coffee, but I am disciplined about getting protein first. So all of that happens in the morning. And then I just really indulge in my cup of coffee that I love. And then evening after sunset, generally I try to like get outside, like I said, and if I can, just depends on my schedule, but if I can get outside, even if it's just for a little walk, like after dinner or something like that, just to get that like evening sunlight. And then usually I'm reading again at night because I do love my, I'm kind of a nerd. If you can't tell, I love to read a lot. But my glasses go on. That's huge. So I'm very disciplined about that. I will, you know, I'm on devices. I can't say that I like never have to be on a device in the evening because sometimes I have like later calls or, you know, like podcasts or things like this. And so I have to be on my computer, but I wear my blue light blockers. And then I have a lens. These ones have like magnetic clip-on colored lenses.
Oh, cool.
So then I just like pop my red ones on and then I'm set for nighttime. But then I try to disengage at least minimum 1 hour before bed. I shoot for two. So the couple evening routines for me that are like the non-negotiables is I do not eat 3 to 4 hours before bed.
Yep.
No food at all. I eat an earlier dinner. If for some reason I can't, I'll just be honest about this. Like I prefer to fast versus like I'll just skip a meal versus like eating before bed.
Same.
I just won't do
it. For me, that's the number one thing that affects my sleep.
Yeah.
It's like clockwork. I know if I'm going to eat a big meal or if I'm going to eat close to the time I go to bed, I sleep horribly.
Yes. Yeah. It's really, it's detrimental for your hormones. It's terrible for your sleep. For metabolic health, it is like really, you know, people who are struggling with like extra weight gain or stuff like that. Like it's really disruptive for that metabolic cycle. So you're always better off. And actually I'm more of a fan. Like people talk about intermittent fasting and there's a lot of like different opinions about it. If you are going to do it, it's actually better biologically and for circadian rhythm to do it at night. So you're better off like skipping the last meal of the day and loading up, like getting that meal, prioritizing first thing in the morning and in the middle of the day, but then like not eating later at, you know, it'll help with your sleep and your repair. And so, those are my, you know, and then it depends, but like high level, those are the things. I protect my lighting environment. I'm very careful about my exposure, you know, to devices. I turn off my Wi-Fi at night. Oh, I forgot to say that. So I should have brought my little remote, but these, you can get these at, you can get them on Amazon for a couple bucks, like $5 or something. But they're just like an on and off remote. You can use them to do for anything. So like if you like wanted to turn on and off a light in your house or any device that you want to turn on and off, you buy these little on off remotes and you plug it into the outlet. And then whatever device you are trying to turn on and off, you plug it into that thing, right? And then you just have this little remote. I keep it by my bed. And when I go to bed at night, I turn off the Wi-Fi and that's it. Done. And then you give your body a break, at least for those, you know, 8 hours where it's not being exposed to like the Wi-Fi and the EMFs. And, you know, it's hard to escape this stuff, but these little things that you can do, like when you do what you can, it adds up. You know, these little things add up for sure.
Yeah. And you've given us so much that, like, if you're listening to this and you're feeling overwhelmed, I just want to encourage you not to, because starting with any one of these, you're going to notice a difference. So pick something that feels like something that you could incorporate, either something you're going to add or something you're going to take away from your daily routine, and then just notice how you feel, right? And then when that becomes embodied and you're seeing the payoff and you're doing it habitually, then you can try adding or taking away something else. But little by little, I agree, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm so glad you said that. And this is what I tell my clients all the time is like, you know, because I get people, they get so excited and working with me. They're like, I want to do all the things. And I'm like, no, because I know that's not going to work.
Yeah.
So we're going to pick the biggest impact things. We're going to take small steps. And exactly as you said, like once that just becomes a habit and it's just part of your like daily rhythm and you don't even think about it, then you're like, oh, great. Now what?
Yeah.
And that's the way to do it. If you try to do all this stuff all at once, you'll be so overwhelmed and like, it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
But literally choosing one thing. So I would say like, honestly, for people, start with the like phone thing, turn it red. That's it. Give yourself a couple hours before bed where you're not looking at a blue screen, that hour in the morning, just start with that and do that for, I don't know, a few weeks, a month, a few months. See how that feels and then move on to something else.
Yes. I'm going to actually start that. I'm going to, I'll put the link for you guys in the show notes on how to do that, but I'm going to do it myself too, because that's something I'm not doing. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Awesome. Well, this has been so great. I've learned a lot. And I'm believing that you've given us just so many practical things. Like I was saying, something for everyone, somewhere for everyone to start. So I really appreciate that, but let everyone know where they can find you and connect with you and get more of what you're teaching and offering.
Yeah. My website's the best place to connect with me. It's just my name, TiffanyCagwin.com. So Cagwin is C-A-G-W-I-N. From there, you can get my socials. You know, you can connect with me on all the socials. If you want to book a discovery call with me, I do a pretty extensive complimentary discovery call and just talk to people about how I work with them. You can book that right through my website. If anybody feels like they are needing a getaway, I've got a Costa Rica yoga retreat coming up and we still have a few spots left. So the info for that's on the website as well. But really everything just goes through my website and I'm really easy to reach and happy to talk to anybody anytime and see if I can help.
Great. Well, thanks so much for being with us today. That's awesome.
Thank you.
If you love Mommy's Podcast, leave a review.
If you enjoyed this episode, it would be so awesome if you could take a moment to subscribe and rate the podcast. And if you have just a few more seconds to leave a quick review, they really help to get this podcast out to other moms like you. I read every last review, and trust me, when it's late at night or early in the morning before my kids get up and I'm working on bringing you all of this content, your reviews are what keep me going. Leaving a review is truly the best way you can thank me. And of course, DM me on Instagram. I love to hear from you. Thanks for listening to another episode. Head over to the show notes for this episode and all past episodes at michellegrosser.com, where you'll find free resources and more ways to connect with me. If you love the show, share it with a friend. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next time.